This is CliffCentral.com. Yeah, good morning, everybody. It is Friday. Woo, tiddly doo. I love it. Hey, Ben. Ben hey, Karpinski. It's Ben's last day today. He's very excited about this. He managed to get an Uber, which is always exciting because they can't find his house and they think he lives in the street.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to... Oh, sorry. I was saying. Yeah. I am looking forward to not having to have these Uber conversations at 5:45 of, no, just turn left there. No, it's the boom gate's open. You can come through. That was one of the low points of working on the show.
Yeah, there are some places that are just impossible for Uber drivers to navigate because they look on a map like they are somewhere where they're not.
Well, yeah, exactly. And then my GPS throws them all over the place because according to the GPS, I live in the ditch on William Nickel. Not very glamorous, I know, but that's me. Everyone know where I live?
In the gutter, right next
Apparently,
to the road.
I live in the gutter.
Yeah. All right, we got lots of emails. Hey, Gugu, why don't you go and grab the stuff from the printer for me quickly? I love how we do all our stuff right here on the show. You know, we let everybody handle the intricacies of behind the scenes with us.
It's working parts.
Yeah, I got a couple of messages for you to start your day, Ben.
Nice.
Ben, my birthday is on the 2nd of December, says Stefania.
Oh, I thought it was Brittany. Okay.
I am Polish from a big family, not raised by wolves, but left in the woods to fend for myself, and I'm dating a Scorpio. It felt like you were my brother from another mother. You could be. Maybe. Ben's dad might have been, you know. Well, you never know.
Everyone's got secrets.
Right. And sometimes you only find these things out like at the funeral where there's some other woman standing there.
Someone's got secrets. Our parents probably have the most.
Yeah, I reckon. And they're just good at keeping them, you know, because some people have great stories like Leanne, but she just lets all of them out. She'll be here in a minute, by the way, and Sia as well. They're on their way. But this woman, Stefania, says, I'm going to miss that chortle and that wit. You got me, motherfucker. Thanks for making my sporting conversations impressive to many. Go forth and prosper. Isn't that nice?
Well, that makes me feel fantastic. Thank you.
And here's one. This is a nice one from Harry. Harry says, Ben, I'm going to start a page on change.org and rally the woke sports fans to petition your departure. I know it's like selecting Earl Rose at 10 for the Bucks, but worth a go anyway, as the actress said to the bishop.
Well, the thing is, if that doesn't work, then that money that was raised for me can go to Earl Rose so he can eat next year. Mm. And then he doesn't have to steal golf clubs.
Shame, that's the saddest story
it
still.
It is quite sad.
It's the worst story in sport this year.
That's one of
is
the saddest stories.
On a serious note, thanks for all the memories and especially changing your position on my fellow Zimbabwean Gary Balance during the Ashes a few years ago. He's even better than we thought then. Now that we know the cheating Australians were roughing the ball up on a dingo's ass and swinging it like Caitlyn Jenner on a stag do in Bangkok.
Yeah, there really has been a lot. Today, I try to pin down like my highlights and lowlights of being on the show for 5 years, and obviously what's happened in sport in the last 5 years. Wow, there's been so much.
No, it's been very busy.
So much.
Your one-liners have helped me bat my way out of the crease with some of the finest cherries north of the Limpopo, and will do for years to come.
Wow.
For your future endeavors, I leave you with the Zimbabwean chestnut of, if you want to walk with the big dogs, you can't piss like a puppy. All the best, Ben, Harry.
Is that where the saying comes from?
Isn't that nice, though? Yeah. That's nice, right?
That's beautiful.
Yeah. A couple of other messages. So we're gonna spend the first hour of this morning with like a Ben. Oh, by the way, I brought you a present.
Oh, thank you, Gareth. Very kind.
Ben's gift for his last show. And there are a lot of other messages pouring in. Do you want to hear some more?
Sure.
Jan and Burke, who I assume are a couple, say, farewell, Ben. Your wit and insight make sport interesting, even for non-sports fans. I hope you stay in touch with the show, Jan and Burke.
Yeah, definitely. I shall do.
And then Ben's farewell. Yeehaw. And it's a weekend, baby. No one can fuck with that happy mood. Morning, everyone. Fundo. He's not happy you're going. He's just excited about the
weekend. Yeah, Fundo, throughout my 5 years here, has sent lovely messages of support, and he's been a great listener as far as he's used so much of the content we've thrown out there, which
right.
is great.
Well, yeah, there are lots of people who... Listen, you've made sport interesting for me, which is like Herculean in its ambitions. Because I have never been interested because I was never good at sport at school. So I just never really paid attention. And we always had to do it as part of what we were doing in radio. And when we started here, it wasn't something I needed to do.
Exactly.
And then I just suddenly thought, you know what we need here is not necessarily a sport guy, but like a guy who can make me laugh. And well, you do that every morning, even when you're grumpy.
And that was the whole thing about sport for me from the beginning. It's just what humans do. It's not like this choice.
It's just a fun thing to do.
Yeah. But because I've always said I fear I'm going to get like Alzheimer's or dementia or both, and I'm going to forget everything while I'm sitting in adult nappies. I made a little video of...
To remind yourself.
Of recapping this 5 years, which will go out. So when you listen to the podcast of the sport today, there'll be a video below it.
Oh, cool.
Of 5 years, and I'll tell you the story how I got onto the show and obviously what it's been like here. And there's some snippets of other people.
I like
it. And a couple of flashbacks.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah. I want it to be like...
A production, a whole production.
Yeah, I want it to be a fun video, but eventually I just got so serious and it was so... Oh, gosh, got all choked up.
Yeah. Oh, like Barry Ronger.
Like Barry Ronger.
Shame. Yeah, I believe he's like demented, doesn't know where he is.
That's another thing about these 5 years. It was the demise of Barry, really. I haven't seen him. Heard of him.
Now, you know, there are some people in broadcasting who you think on fondly when they're kind of not part of something that you used to love or that you still love. And then there are those people you forget that they were ever there. Like, I know you're a big fan of Trevor Quirk, but you're the only one left.
No.
Do you remember Trevor Quirk?
Trevor Quirk. Trevor Quirk's still going somewhere in Cape Town.
Is he?
He's still got his face in a trough of red wine somewhere. But he's...
I meant to ask you, James Small... Dying at 50 of a heart attack, that's rough, pretty hardcore. Yeah. But I think he lived large and definitely was not shy of having a good time.
Look, I mean, this is what people won't say, obviously, because when someone dies, you only say nice things about people. But like 8 out of 10 people thought James Small was a complete and utter doer. The other two said that he was misunderstood. My personal experience with him, I met him through a mutual friend. He was always a very nice guy, seemed quite pleasant. But he was always just, he was a bit different.
But also in those days, didn't those rugby players, they were just
like, different age, different era.
They were pulled off the field when they were sore, and they were just given some suspect injection. They never asked questions. The doctor never really told them what it was. They'd go running back on the field feeling fine, and then 5 years later, their knee would completely cave in.
Yeah, well, the similar things happened.
Didn't we do that in sport? Like a couple of years ago, it wasn't so well regulated. I mean, remember that? Jamila Kratchatova or whatever her name was, she had a cock as big as my arm, and she ran in the women's Soviet team.
It was just seen as a lazy labia.
Berlin. I think she was the East German team.
Well, they all had hair under their arms and
huge bush of hair. Like, and also hair pouring out of the side of their little shorts. Really, very very masculine girls, and very blurred lines as to what was acceptable and what wasn't. Horse steroids. You know, people were taking whatever they needed to win. Those were the glory days.
Well, we definitely have had coarser beginnings in our time. Yeah, look, James Wall was a big part of sport because of the whole 95 era.
Yeah.
And he was one of the key players in that. And back then, he was the leading try scorer for the Springboks.
Sure. No, he was a hell of a hero. I mean, I remember encountering him around town because I was in my early 20s, and that was what I enjoyed doing, is going out every night. And... he was married at that stage to Christina Storm, who was like the hottest girl in South Africa. And he was this amazing, legendary rugby player. And people just loved the two of them.
Yeah,
they were like the first real super couple of kind of this transition between sport and celebrity in South Africa. And it was interesting because he was also different to all those Afrikaans rugby players who kind of had a, 2.5 kids and a wife and lived this quiet sort of, urbane life. And he was, he was an animal. He was out there having fun.
He really was. And he will be remembered a lot more than a lot of other players, obviously now in his untimely death, even more so. But I've got another story about him in the sport today.
All right.
Which I'll share with you.
All right.
Where the hell are the other two people?
Leanne, do we have any updates? Yeah, let's go to Gugu and find out what's going on here. Sia messaged me and said he's running late, but that doesn't happen often. Oh, so I'll forgive
him. He didn't message me, so...
Oh, he didn't message you.
Yeah, I don't know. He's not.
And do you know whether Leanne is awake and sober?
Haven't heard from her since a couple of days ago.
Hang on. Here's a incoming Leanne Moll broadcast. Oh, no. Overslept. Damn it. Sorry, Oaks.
Oh, that's so embarrassing.
Well, thanks.
Jesus. I mean, it's Ben's last show. They could have put in a bit of effort, these two. Really.
So embarrassing.
You were telling me you've got some dates lined up for the weekend.
Yeah, I got one or two dates sprinkled across the weekend.
Tell me about this.
Looking forward to it.
Are they completely strange people who you've decided to have first dates with, or are these repeats?
Look, this is a Tinder vibe, Garrett. So it's a first
time
thing.
You're looking to hit it and quit it then?
I don't know, Ben. We'll see. It depends on what we find out there, you know.
What's your usual modus operandi? Have you had success?
With Tinder?
Yeah.
Not quite, eh?
No.
There's just only weird characters.
There's only one answer to that question that is interesting. Like, if it's not this answer, I don't want to hear it. So, yes, and otherwise, just don't tell me. Have you had success with Tinder?
No,
don't go,
Garrett,
not quite. Not quite. What does not quite mean? I mean, like, it means maybe I did, but I got
dogs
to second base.
You met a few dogs.
Oh, Jesus.
Gosh.
Don't want to talk about it, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Bit disappointing?
Yeah.
Is it because your range on Tinder is set too small? I mean, maybe you could go a bit further out, or you want them to travel a bit further? You want to travel a bit further? You're on a bike. You can go far.
Look, Gareth, I don't mind traveling. Yeah.
I mean, you were in Botswana last week.
I go far and wide with this.
Did you switch on Tinder in the middle of the Khadi pans? You would have found absolutely zero there, my friend. Talk about dogs. You would have found animals there and nothing.
Look, with the whole dating thing, I've entered this dating show, right? Can't really tell you what it is. But I got.
You're going to be in The Bachelorette?
No, it's not The Bachelorette, Ben. No, we're not there yet. It's a new one. It's actually, we haven't had it in SA.
Yeah. So it's like an actual like TV show kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Look at
dates,
you, celebrity.
In 2 weeks' time.
You keep us up to date with what's going on there.
Google, is that why you joined Cliff Central? You wanted to springboard it to other big things like this dating show?
Listen, by the way, you mentioned The Bachelorette. I was at the gym the other day between meetings here in Sunning Hill, which is one that I never go to. Mm-hmm. And who do I see at the counter ordering a kawaii but The Bachelor?
Lee. Was he finding a connection with someone behind the counter?
I don't know. He was just ordering something. So I said hello. And, you know, we'd kind of known each other before, but I didn't really, I wouldn't call him someone that I've, I don't have his number and we don't talk.
But you're both people of public interest. You would recognize each other. And
I said to him, how's it going? And he's like, oh, well, you know, it's going really well because there's a huge amount of exposure and that means his businesses are doing well as a result of it and all the rest. So I said to him, come on the show, but I don't know whether that'll happen. A lot of people are nervous to come here. I don't know why.
Scared of you.
Well, there's nowhere to hide because you can't hide behind a song or the traffic.
Yeah, but have we ever been mean to a guest? Has anyone ever left here, even people who've been through huge controversies,
you know what, Gareth,
and come here and not had a chance to explain themselves?
We've never once been mean, but they've got to fill the air with truth, and that's what makes people nervous. Because if you're sitting down for a formatted 5-minute interview on some other channel, you can laugh through awkward questions and nobody will ever push you, whereas here you can't hide, so you have to have a conversation.
It has to matter,
and that's why a lot of people will be too nervous to come here. In the beginning they wanted to come here because it was like something new and exciting, and then they heard a few interviews where some truth came out and they're like, "Ooh, actually."
By the way, we may have something very big next week, but I'll tell you a little bit about that once it's all confirmed. Just in terms of getting some people in here to talk about controversial things and some very interesting people. So just stay close. I'll tell you more about
that. See his ex-boyfriends?
It's a way bigger revelation than that. by the way, I had a conversation with Sia the other day because it's hilarious how he has to... he's basically the first voice I hear in the morning when he phones me to make sure that I'm, you know, up and on my way. So every morning, even if he's in a relationship, I don't know whether there's like... you know, he's had 7 people in his bed the night before, but he's calling me at 4:45 in the morning, and they obviously have to be party to this. He said to me, if I never have a good relationship, it's because of you. So I said to him, no, Sia, it's because of you, you cold bastard. On the day Ben announces his resignation, James Small dies of a broken heart. Coincidence? No. Mm. We all grieve in different ways. And that's from Morgan.
Yeah, thanks, Morgan. That's all I need. that guilt over me.
Yeah. Tumelo says, speaking of secrets, I've always been the youngest of 3 children, all boys. Then, boom, earlier in this year, we found out we all have a half-sister that is 2 years younger than me. I love those shows, by the way, on TV where they find these things out. So Tumelo says, I'm 25, she's 23, my parents are in their 60s now, so naturally nothing really bothers them. She fits into our family like she's always been around, and my mom finally has a daughter. So it sounds like a happy ending. Hmm. My dad found out at the end of last year too. She took it upon herself to look for him, and she found him. She's cool and looks a lot like my middle brother and I. It's kind of cool to have a sister. She's blood after all. Well, Tumelo, I've got to, first of all, compliment your family on being so like cool about this. And I've got to compliment her on being so cool about this, because it sounds like it's all just worked, but doesn't always work. Sometimes the mom finds out that the dad's had this other child and it ruins that relationship. And then the kids hate her because she's a symbol of betrayal. And this sounds like a happy ending, but normally they're not. And your dad had to probably do some serious explaining behind closed doors, sure, to where he had his, most intimate of experiences while he was with your mom. And you clearly don't have a big gap between her and you. It's like a year or two. So while your mom and dad were supposedly happily making you, he was also canoodling on the side, which has to make you slightly amused, if nothing else.
Maybe we're onto something here, Gareth. All our parents have secrets.
Yeah. Yep. I'm telling you, imagine your parents' secrets as a show. That would be a well worthwhile TV show to make, or radio show.
It's only natural. In the years that we live on this earth, we all do a variety of things. But that's a great show. My parents have secrets. You have like these interrogation sessions.
It would be so hardcore, though. Oh, my God. All right. Here's another comment. It is the Ken Barbinski show today, and James Dalton was the real naughty one. He was the bald guy, right?
Well, I mean, there's levels. Yeah, James Small and James Dalton were not the same kind of person. Let me just put that out to you right now.
Yeah, let's just leave it at that. Yeah, I don't really have anything to say about him either. No glum today, Karpinski, says someone else. Let me just give a name here, because I hate it when I don't have a name. So this is Sifrid, who says, let this be a celebration of what you'll make of your new business if you live long enough. You know, people still worried about your health, Ben.
So, yeah, exactly. Good point.
You need to be at your best when you marry that smoking fiancé of yours. Like you said a few days ago, Cliff Central's a part of your life, and I'm sure we'll get you back as a regular when you can find the time. All of the best for the future with your enormous head. P.S. Gareth, now get CS2+3 on the show so that we can get real sports back on.
Real sports blowing out your eyes. Sports didn't get any more real than it was here.
It's funny. I'm getting all these emails from people who listen to the show now suggesting who should do the sport. Like, we need to replace sport. They don't get that it was, you know, I really just had to find an excuse to get you in here. And sport's something you cared about, so it was easy to do.
Yeah, because it went so badly when we tried other people doing sport in the show.
Oh, do you remember?
It was a disaster every
time.
When
you'd go away, we'd bring in fans, and they'd sit here and do the sport, and it was always horrendous. Always.
But at the end, it became horrendous to the point it wasn't even funny, because in the beginning, shocking. It was like funny horrendous.
Yeah.
And then it was just annoying.
John says, good morning, team. At first, I never really liked Big Head Ben, but now I think he's all right.
Thanks.
And a lot more of these. To Ben, thanks for all the laughs over the years and sticking up to Gareth about that average comrades runner like me, Kelvin. All right. I don't know that he ever stood up for average comrades runners, Kelvin. I think you've deluded yourself. No one cares about average comrades.
I did, Kelvin. You keep reaching your pinnacles in life, bud. Forget about what Gareth said.
Listen, I went to dinner last night for a friend of mine's birthday, and we were standing around talking, and there was a pro cyclist there and a pro polo player. And I sometimes...
Polo, horse polo, right?
Horse polo, yeah. Well, not elephant polo.
Well, some people...
Or water polo.
Water polo,
yeah.
Polo,
no,
yeah.
No, horse polo. So we were just talking about sport, and I said to them, and again, this is my unqualified opinion on sport, which I always like to give because you correct me. I said, you know, if we were winning at something right now as a country, then it would be worth talking about sport. But sport is like watered-down survival. You know, you remember those MTN gladiators? You used to have those...
I used to love that.
But they wore those padded suits, and they had those padded... like weapons that they would smash each other around on padded, like jumping castles.
That was
and shit.
Great. A lot of them went on to poor health through kidney complications. But
but not because of the show, because you couldn't get hurt on Gladiators, right? It didn't really, like, it was such a weak attempt at bringing back the great Roman gladiators where the ultimate penalty was death. And sport is like a substitute for war.
Completely. I've always said this, yeah.
Okay, so this is where I was going with this discussion. These guys hated this discussion, by the way. They didn't like where it was going. It made, and they're fine people, all of them. I had a really good time with all of them, but we got into this discussion around sport because that was what they were talking about. So I'm not going to change the subject. But I said to them, you know, it is kind of a bad substitute for war or for survival because there are real penalties there. And if you look at the Proteas in this World Cup now, there are no real penalties for being a loser. Like, you still get your money. The crowds
still kind of stay in the team as well.
Yeah, you stay in the team, and you know, you make some crappy excuse on the TV and people forgive you, and like, there's this weird thing that happens because alpha males have been reduced to having to hit a ball or kick a ball or something like that instead of go out and murder 1,000 people with a knife.
That still happens.
In the Fun Breda family. No, but you know what I mean? Like, the consequences are quite severe in the latter, and they're not really in the former. Well, I've always found this a curious thing about sport. And it's something that came up last night, and we were all talking about it. And the one guy was like, no, but sport's really important for a nation. And I said to him, no, that's exactly wrong. Because we made sport important for our nation with that whole 95 World Cup thing and, you know, the African Cup of Nations and a number of other things that we were pretty good at the time. We made sports so important that the politicians thought it was important and they got involved in it. It's recreational. It shouldn't be a national symbol or any of that stuff. Well, it should be fun.
No, but bullshit. Then what is then? What is our national symbol?
We don't have any.
Hating corruption?
Yeah, no,
looking at sunsets?
Those grannies who were going, them I must go.
Sport is the one thing that unifies us. I had this debate in the Renegade Report.
Yeah, I know.
There's something else, Gareth. What else?
I listened to that episode.
What else will unify us? Our love for money?
But you're leaving people like me out because I don't get that.
Want to be unified, which is a point that Roman was making. He doesn't want to be, and that's fine. But don't then shittle over it because you don't want to be a part of it. That's like me saying, I hate dresses. I'm never wearing a dress, but I'm a guy, so I mean, it's fine. I don't need to wear a dress. Like, move on with life. Doesn't mean I just hate dresses.
Oh, God. All right. Well, you're not going to go down that road on your last show. Oh,
that's a big conversation.
All right. Loads of other messages coming in. We'll get to a few more of those in a moment.
Sorry, just the last part on that. Mm. You are cut right there because it's about high stakes, right? In gladiatorial days, it was high stakes. If you don't survive, you don't kill that person, you die yourself. So the stakes were really high. So, yeah, there should be higher stakes in sport. Like, imagine Faf du Plessis, he has to make 75 runs or he'll be eaten by a tiger. I think that'll be a bloody interesting innings to watch. There's a tiger on a chain at short leg, growling at him, swiping at him. He's like, fucking hell, I'm going to score runs now. That would be something.
But just like we would reward him more if they won, I mean, we would give them a triumph, like a, you know, a ticker tape parade through town, which happens when a team does well. Yeah. We're always quick to celebrate them, so it's not like we're mean people. When our teams do well, we love them. We meet them at the airport. We fawn over them.
Four people came out to see the Proteas come back.
But when they do badly, we must also punish them. Like, there's got to be a quid pro quo on both sides. So if you do really well, you get all the glory. You get a triumph. You know, you get treated like an army general who's defeated the enemy. But when you come back after losing, there must be like a cage of tigers that we release as you walk through arrivals in
like all the mumbas that were at that guy's house in KZN.
And then that becomes a sport all on its own. Because we see the people who are supposedly our athletes having to fight for their lives to retain that position.
Gareth, it's a hard sell, but I like
I suppose it came up because of James Small and that 95 World Cup team, and people were talking about how it's hard to be an ex-sports person, even if you've made tons of money, because you, especially in rugby, you take such a battering, right? And a lot of people are shocked by the fact that he had a heart attack at 50. I lost a friend at 25 to a heart attack.
My neighbor this year passed away right next door to me.
That's right. So it happens,
younger,
you know.
Than me.
And there's obviously nothing you can do about these things, but it's worth reflecting on them when someone like James Small does die. I think people talk about it. Joost, of course, the other example of someone who, just from a health point of view, the poor guy just, you know, it was down the drain.
Yeah.
Anyway, lots of other stuff to get to. Let me get into some news. So the Mr. Delivery driver is facing attempted rape charges. Remember, we talked about him the other day. He is accused of trying to rape a Weinberg woman who was sent to Polesmore prison. His name is Kasim Imani. He's 43. and he made his first appearance at the Wynberg Magistrates Court on Wednesday after being arrested in Plumstead on Monday for allegedly attacking a female customer in her home. According to the initial statement, the 26-year-old woman told cops that she had ordered food. It was delivered by a guy, and he was short. He was wearing black jeans and a hoodie, and she said he walked into the house and then pushed against a wall. And anyway, we went through the whole story on the day, and now they've found him and they've put him in prison until he is up for his trial.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, because we don't often hear these stories, and you think nothing happens to these bad people. And clearly the guy's disturbed. I mean, you know, who would do that? Twitter's back online after a brief outage. I didn't even notice. Did you notice that Twitter was out?
Yeah, last night.
Okay. Well, Twitter was available on Thursday morning after the messaging service went down. I think it was the night before, Ben.
Oh, because I was experiencing issues yesterday.
Okay. Well, several spots around the world, it went down for about an hour. We were down and now slowly coming back up. Sorry, grateful for our operations and engineering teams. That's what the chief executive of Twitter, Jack Dorsey, wrote in a tweet. The monitoring website Down Detector showed a series of outage reports concentrated in Europe, North America, and Japan. We're currently investigating issues people are having accessing Twitter, a spokesperson said in an email when the reports first surfaced. I didn't notice, but okay, cool. So Twitter's back online if you were desperately missing out on being outraged. And then three suspects were arrested, six vehicles were recovered during a joint intelligence-driven operation by a team investigating car theft syndicates in Gauteng. According to Captain Mavela Masondo, the operation was conducted by members of the Tswana North Crime Intelligence, the Rapid Rail Police Unit, and National Intervention Unit. So you know what happens is that there are these vehicles that are stolen, and apparently two additional recovered vehicles have had their engines tampered with because they have to file off the engine numbers.
Right.
That's how the criminals figure out where they came from. Or rather, the police figure out where the criminals got them from. And they found these guys, they've locked them up, and they're going to appear in the Pretoria Magistrates Court on Friday. So more criminals being arrested. Becky Taylor is delivering, at least in some respects, right?
Great way to start Fridays.
Absolutely. And we are a politics-free Friday, as we've become every Friday for the last couple of months. But I do have to mention Pravin Gordhan announcing on Thursday, just yesterday, that South African Airways' board chairperson, J.B. Magwaza, has resigned from the embattled national carrier for personal reasons. Yeah, sure. Who buys that? Pravin was delivering his budget vote in Parliament. In a budget vote sitting, they saw early disruptions from the EFF, but Gordhan took a moment to thank Magwaza for his contributions. We'd like to thank the outgoing...
Does the EFF still hate Pravin?
Yes, because Pravin has info on where Julius is getting his money. And of course, he's going after illicit cigarette dealers who finance the EFF. That's the short story. I don't know why this is
controversial. That's like the worst kept secret in the whole country.
I know, and people are still upset about it. It's so weird. Like, people get upset about that stuff. We would like to thank him, and then Pravin said that the government shareholder bill would be adopted into law and would work to have a green paper for the SOE bill, which will be developed this financial year. This will, among other things, address governance, SOE mandates, funding models, and guidelines. I don't know what all of that bullshit is. That sounds like political language to me. But the department has a budget of $293 million, and that has been reduced, representing an average decline of 6.5%. Well, that's good. If their budgets are being reduced, I think that's a good thing, because the his department has got a lot of work and they've got a lot to prove. They've done nothing but waste taxpayers' money. All right. This is terrible. Apparently a South African model had her leg broken in an alleged racist attack at a casino in Pretoria in the early hours of Thursday. Now, before we jump to the conclusion that this is a racist attack, because I don't know the story at all, wouldn't it be worth saying that maybe a model was attacked, which sounds like something that could happen anywhere in the world? But we jumped to racism. So here's what happened, just so we know. The Sowetan reported Ngomani, that's Miriam Ngomani, she's the model, was with her fiancé, Tobias Zeheleitner. I think that's
still with you, yeah.
Right, at Times Square in Menland, when a guy believed to be in his 20s took issue with her display of affection because they were holding hands. I asked what he was doing, and he said, "What is wrong with you? You're dating a monkey." Zeer Leitner told the publication as he recounted his ordeal. The man, now, I don't know, forgive me, but I think all of this is pretty strange. Interracial relationships have not been an issue for the longest time.
Yeah.
I've seen black guys with white girls with black girls with white guys, whatever it might be. I've seen lesbian couples holding hands. I've been to Times Square in Pretoria. It's not some, like, den of racism. In fact, the most BEE place I've ever been to, and I am using the pejorative term here for BEE, like the guys with the shiniest jackets and the most expensive shoes I've ever seen, and money literally pouring out of every pocket, buying bottles of champagne, is in that very place. There's this rooftop bar, and these guys are like, you know, cabinet ministers go there. It's like, it is BEE Central. And you're in the capital city, and, you know, there's money there. And I don't believe for a second that some dude would just walk up to a couple and start giving them racist shit. It seems like something else has happened here, and they're not being honest. There's something going on, because this is probably a horrible person who I mean, he attacked people.
Well, anyway, to attack a woman, yeah, I mean, it's going
to... But, like, to jump to the race thing just seems way too easy.
It's almost a bit Jussie Smollett-ish.
Yes, and also just a bit like social media attention-seeking-ish, because we know that just lights up social media, right?
Yeah.
It's people looking for a reason to believe that racism is still really, really rampant, when it obviously isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Jussie Smollett is all I'm saying. There's so much of this crap going on that I'm always suspicious when I see it. And we should ask a lot more questions. I'm sure that more will come out about this. So those are the news stories for this morning. We're going to get into Ben's sport, and he's got some highlights for us too. Hopefully, Leanne and Sia will make it before the end of the show this morning.
And I don't want them to go out of their way or anything.
No, no, sure. I mean, it's just that they are paid to be here, you know, yeah, among other things.
I hate for them to ruin their weekend by being here so early.
Yeah.
Thank you for the gift, though, Gareth.
By the way, Amanda wants to talk to you. So she's going to get hold of us on Skype just now. Amanda's always been a huge fan of yours.
Yeah, Amanda was one of the people that was here over that 5 years.
That's right. And I hope you mentioned her. Otherwise, she'll be very upset.
Not yet, no.
All right. So let's get into it. Ben's got some sport for us, and then we'll check in with the news and some other stories, too. Just by the way, Bitcoin is at $11,320. Ethereum at 270. It's been going up and down this week.
Up and down, up and down. Because of the Revix, I've got a bundle going with that. So nice. I'm looking at these things again.
Me too. It's interesting,
up
right?
Up and down, up and down.
Like, suddenly you've got skin in the game and it matters.
But 200% increase in this year on Bitcoin.
There we go. Correct. All right, Ben, take it away.
All right, the Aussies got absolutely trousered yesterday by the English, which was quite funny for a lot of people. Wimbledon finals are going to be lit. And, well, there's no other major football, just a bit of AFCON for your weekend.
By the way, that horrible piece of music we stole from some sports show on TV that we just thought was ridiculous, because they actually played that between every story.
Yeah.
And we thought, we have to have it.
It's very 80s. It's great. So Australia, well, yesterday they went out to go play England with a shot at the World Cup final where they would play New Zealand. Now, New Zealand somehow beat India. I know India were overwhelming favourites, but Virat Kohli just didn't ever step up. And to my Aussie friend Dennis's much delight, who then trolled him so hard, he averages like 11 in semi-finals.
Aye.
The fact this team makes a lot of semi-finals also very good, but he doesn't step up when it's needed. So New Zealand went through, which kind of breaks my heart, seeing there's only about 38 guys who play cricket in New Zealand. But yeah, somehow they're in the World Cup final, whereas our guys are back at home playing Farmville or something.
All right.
What the hell they do.
Oh. So Australia. Farmville.
Australia were blown away pretty quickly by a rampant English bowling attack. 223 is all that they'd limp to. This time, David Warner did not score runs. Aaron Finch got a first bowler, and it was just crying Steve Smith, 85. That was the only lone hope with the bat. The English, well, they went out, and with absolute no fear or regard for the Aussie bowlers, they got them. They got 226 for 2 in 32 overs. So they won by 8 wickets with 107 balls left. That isn't just a win. That's a thrashing. That's like slapping the guy's friend just to show you how much he beat that guy. It's like one of the biggest thrashings in the semi-final crickets. And the Aussies have always been World Cup specialists.
So
it's very embarrassing.
It's going to be England versus New Zealand. And yes, we all know it'll be absolutely...
So who should we back?
Well, obviously New Zealand.
Okay.
Because if England were to win a Cricket World Cup, nobody would like that. But now, I also don't want New Zealand to win a Cricket World Cup and Rugby World Cup. But then again, because SA Sport is so kind of dodgy right now, I know the box can try to prove us wrong later in the year. But because SA Sport's so weak right now, I actually don't care what other teams do. Brag all you want. It's not like we can like counter it with anything. Yeah, yeah. But we won in 2000. Nothing. Nothing. So we got nothing. All I can do is say, obviously we're going to back New Zealand because they're just nice, a bunch of guys. And as someone said to me on Twitter last night, if ever in doubt, always pick the team you're willing to go have some beers with. Do you want to go have beers with the New Zealand guys, or do you want to go get into a bar fight with Ben Stokes?
No, definitely.
So you're going to back New Zealand. Yeah. And that will take place on Sunday. And what a day Sunday is, because it's also the British Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm.
So Lewis Hamilton, of course, loves that track. He has the most records there, tied 5 with Alain Prost and some other guy you've never heard of. But he'll go into that track knowing that it may not be there for much longer. I know there's been a lot of controversy around should Silverstone retain the British Grand Prix. Should they try to go somewhere else? Should there be a British Grand Prix? There's been all kinds of stories. But the historical home of British racing is something that Hamilton really cares about. So he'll be looking to win that and then obviously have some sentimental words for why it should stay there. I think a lot of event organizers just hate it. They say it's a terrible venue. Just a cuck venue to go to. Anyway, that will be on Sunday. But also on Sunday will be the men's final of Wimbledon. So these are the guys in contention for it. We've got Djokovic versus Batista or Gatt. A gut.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be your first semi-final.
That's a horrible name.
It isn't great. But hey, he's there in the semi-final, so he's rich, Gareth. How much money these guys make?
Yeah.
So much. Well, the correct answer is the same as the woman, because equal pay. And the other semi-final, Nadal versus Federer. So we've got the first, 23rd, 3rd, and 2nd seed. So it's all going to plan, really. But just to a gut, I don't think stands a chance versus Djokovic. So let's just get Djokovic through there. And then either Nadal or Federer versus Djokovic in the final. Obviously, Federer Djokovic is the first prize. If Federer gets through to the final, he'll be vying for his 9th Wimbledon championship. 9th.
Hmm.
Martina Navratilova has 9 on the women's side. But
now, she was playing over, what was it? I saw her the other day in a doubles game.
Yeah, she plays like mixed doubles still. Or
she's
veterans doubles.
She's fit. She's in you know, reasonable condition. Gets out there and does her thing.
She was always in pretty good physical shape.
Yeah.
I mean, she was slightly more athletic and testosterone-y.
But I'm impressed with her because she must be quite old now. I mean, she used to be... I remember watching her when I was a kid.
And she was a senior then.
Yes, exactly. So, good for her. It proves to you age is really not an issue. Tennis is one of the few sports where you can keep going forever.
Well, no. Incorrect. How many other old women do you know playing tennis?
Well, she's a machine.
Serena's seen as old. Roger's old. Roger's my age. He's the exception to the rule. No, she's 62.
That's amazing.
And she was also, obviously, a lesbian. She did a lot for the rights of lesbians.
Absolutely.
She wore shorts. She's like, screw that, I'm wearing shorts. I don't want a dress.
Yeah.
It's kind of like my comments earlier. So that's the men's side of things, right? Into the women's, well, yesterday's semifinals were one-way traffic. Serena Williams beat Strekova like it's her job. 6-1, 6-2. Then Halep, she beats Svitolina. 6-1, 6-3. So we've got Williams versus Halep in the final. Incredible feat of, by Serena, actually, because she's older, coming back from having that child. Halep, pretty much the favorite going into this one, but the crowd will probably go with Serena. I know she acted like an absolute dipshit to the US Open final win. That young Japanese girl won. But Serena's still Serena. She's still done so much, and she obviously rises to the occasion of Wimbledon. So she's an icon of the tournament. In the European Tour Golf, of course, next week is the Open Championship. They're playing at Royal Port Rush in Ireland. And one of the big tune-up events is the Scottish Open. Now, the Scottish Open, generally, if you play well here, you generally have a good showing in the Open Championship. Past champions have suggested that. And it's at the Renaissance Club this time round. So it's a new posh place in North Berwick, which is just outside of...
North Berwick? Doesn't
just
sound
outside
good.
Of Edinburgh. Okay. It's posh as fuck, though, this place, Gareth.
Really?
It really is. And it's an incredible course. Anyway, Romain Wattle, Matt Kuchar, Nino Patasio, and Eduardo Molinari, the lesser known of the Molinaris, are at 8-under. So they're absolutely obliterated the course. Now, to show you how good the scoring was yesterday, or just how good these guys are, Ricky Fowler is currently 119th because he was level par yesterday. So the guys are killing it out there. They really are. South African interests all over the leaderboard with Eric van Rooyen, who is destined for great things. I really will say that he's destined for great things. He's had a great sort of last year, getting more and more prominent in the European Tour and playing in the majors. He just won back on -7. So that's something to look forward to for the weekend. Picturesque, beautiful scenery. It's like a Lynx course with a bit of tree. It's just stunning. It's absolutely amazing. In the football, things are really not looking great for Arsenal. I know the hopes just keep going down and down and down. I mean, Arsenal should essentially just be South African at this stage. But Lauren Koscielny, he is their captain. He's been with them for, I think, 9 years now. He has flatly refused to go on tour with them.
Wow.
All these teams, they go on these preseason tours.
Yeah.
And with that, they obviously sell lots of jerseys and they make lots of money. It's all part of marketing. And it's just basically a roadshow to trot out your talent. So Koscielny's like, fuck that, I'm not going. I don't want to be part of this team anymore. He wants to go back to France.
Sure.
And he says he's ready to take offers. But now Arsenal is saying, no, you will honor your contract. That's what we always said, like football is like slavery, right?
Absolutely.
These people are bought like slaves and they're whipped until they get the result. So he says he's not going. Okay. So now he's not there because they can't physically handcuff him and put him on a plane.
Sure.
I don't think that'll go well as for like a team PR thing.
Well, it'll look bad in the pictures.
It will look terrible. And I doubt that he will then play well in like chains as well. So he doesn't want to play. Now he says, well, okay, I want to play somewhere else. Arsenal like, okay, cool. If a decent offer comes in for you, we'll release you. But now him and his team are saying, yeah, but now Arsenal are deciding what's a decent deal or not, which they're entitled to. And this is the whole thing about binding contracts, Laurent Koscielny. Unfortunately, they won't always go the way that you want. So, I don't know, suck it up. People are living far tougher lives. And sure, you don't want to play for Arsenal because they didn't make Champions League. But you're quite long in the tooth as well. So I don't think you can do much in the Champions League for other teams. Maybe I can be proved wrong and some team's going to spend money on you and then we'll get the final answer. But I think right now, you could probably suck it up. Go out in honour with Arsenal. And also, Arsenal's defence can't afford to lose anyone like again. I know this. I'm an Arsenal fan. Anyway.
Well, you have been. You've been loyal to them through thick and thin.
Oh, through thin and thin. Madagascar got hammered yesterday in the quarterfinals, so their dream runs come to an end in AFCON. They lost 3-0 to Tunisia. The North Africans had a good day around, actually. And Algeria beat Ivory Coast 4-3, so they go through to the semi-finals. Who else will they be playing? Well, today's fixtures will go like this. Senegal taking on Tunisia. Senegal probably, you'd think... Sorry, this is Sunday, not today. Sunday. Senegal probably think are... kind of favorites right now. They'll take on Tunisia at 6 o'clock, and then Sunday will be Algeria versus Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
I cock up. Oh, who cares? Tour de France.
I'm just gonna breeze past it. Don't worry.
Tour de France very interesting yesterday because Geraint Thomas, who's defending champion. Remember, there's no Chris Froome in the Tour de France this year. Geraint Thomas showed some intent yesterday. There was questions around his form coming into the race, and he had a bit of a crash in the beginning as well in Belgium. But yeah, he's showing he's got the intent. He had a real explosive power yesterday on this mountain climb towards the end. But what's this guy's name? Italian guy. Giulio. It's just Giulio, but spelt really weirdly. Giulio Ciccone. He's now the maillot jaune, the yellow jersey holder. And Julian Alaphilippe, whose name I just don't have any troubles with anymore, he lost some time, so he's no longer in the yellow jersey. Yeah, look, there's no rugby to look out for. 20th of July will be the first time we'll see the box. They'll be taking on Australia in a very much shortened rugby championship.
They've shortened it?
World Cup, yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah. I'll finish off with a James Small story that came out yesterday. So in 2009... James Small tried to commit suicide.
Really?
Things were not going so well.
Huh.
And word spread around this, and Nelson Mandela actually called him. So James Small was taking some time out, spent time with his mother. No one really knew where he was.
2009.
And Madiba managed to get a hold of him and actually phoned him. At first, James Small thought it was a prank, thought it was a joke. Well, no one knows where I am, let alone the president of the country, let alone Nelson Mandela. And he phoned him and said, look, you mentioned it, Gareth. A lot of ex-sports stars don't know where their role is in life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the whole thing with James back then. He didn't know what his identity was. He didn't know what his purpose was.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, he was successful in business and he had the legacy of being a rugby player, but he didn't know where he was in society anymore. And Madiba said, never forget, you're part of the 95 class. You have so much purpose. You have such a big role to play and you have already done so much for nation building, all that kind of stuff, things that you don't possibly agree with. But
sure,
he was right. And that apparently turned him around. And Reed did actually give him a whole new lease in life, understanding and perspective of where he was in this country.
That's amazing. I didn't know the story. How did it come out?
All these stories come out somewhere online.
Was this maybe he actually told someone eventually, and now they've decided this is the right time to tell because now he's not here anymore.
Well, he was a very private guy, was James Small. He didn't really care too much for the limelight and all that kind of stuff. He was quite reserved, and he was, you know, to himself. Yeah. He would come across as abrasive for some people, but he just generally was quite a reclusive guy. So a guy that I follow on Twitter, Rugby, one of the best rugby followers out there, he kind of released the story yesterday. So it's sad hearing these things, especially when people just die like that out of nowhere.
But also the fact that he wanted to commit suicide back in 2009, that's news to me as well.
We've all got our demons, we've all got troubles, so we should all just try to be nicer to each other.
And try to understand. It's not easy. All right, I want to quickly go to Amanda. She's on the line, wants to talk to you. Hey, Amanda, what's up?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good. Amanda. Jeez, Amanda, did you just wake up now?
You slow the jaw.
I sound rough, eh? It's terrible.
All right, Amanda.
No, I just woke up.
I'm pleased we got hold of you because you wanted to talk to Ben.
Yes. Oh, Ben.
Hi,
you
Amanda.
Know, you're like one of my favorite people. Wow. You know, so I had to have the opportunity, like, to wish you all the best and whatever, and with whatever you're doing. So, yeah, I just wanted to let you know that I think that you're the coolest person I've met. And, yeah, I hope it all goes upwards and whatever.
Thanks, Amanda. That's really touching. I know it comes from a special place. And it was cool having you here for however long you were here for. You definitely added some great texture to the show, and it was fun.
Cool.
And now I sound terrible, so it sounds like I haven't changed or grown up at all.
But you don't need to. That's fine.
Just it sounds like you've been drinking petrol. That's what it sounds like.
Just drink better booze.
All right, Amanda. Thanks very much. We'll talk soon.
Okay, see you.
Bye, Amanda.
Cool. Come in and visit at some point. Bring your hubbly or something. There's Amanda, who was a part of the show for a long time, and she's still there. She's still paying attention.
Do you remember when she brought in that crazy cousin from Australia, Extra?
Extra, yeah. What a story that was.
Wow.
Extra was extra.
Jeepers.
She was great, though. All right. We got a lot of other stuff that Ben wants to do in a it's like highlights and lowlights, he said. But let me quickly remind you that a little later on this morning, we'll be spending time talking to Tami Pue, who is one of the brains behind a brilliant new show that we've started with Tsimong and Absa called The Interchange. Now, it used to be said that the future is digital, but now we live in the digital era. And whether we want to admit it or not, the digital revolution has made our lives much easier. But we still don't know how the rapid development of technology and artificial intelligence will affect society in the long term. Will the advancement of technology only increase the already dangerous divide between haves and have-nots? Well, that is the topic debated on The Interchange in the latest installment. The podcast is available on cliffcentral.com, the Cliff Central app, or wherever you listen. The thought-provoking episode of The Interchange is brought to you by Absa and Tsimong, and we'll spend a bit of time talking to the people who are behind this podcast series just a little later this morning, so stick around for that. Okay, before we get to your thing, Ben, loads of messages. Here's one from, let me just again look up the names here. It would help if you just put your name in there, Kevin. If Gareth went on less holidays and paid people more, Ben would not be leaving.
No, that's not the issue. That's just mean.
Hugs and kisses. But there we are, Kevin, with some feedback, Ben.
Thanks, Kevin. But I think I got a fair rate for what I throw down here.
Mashoba says, hi, guys. Huge fan of the show. I really miss a day. So, Ben, thanks for some memorable moments. You've inspired plenty of laughs and different types of perspectives. I've personally re-looked at things based on ideas and opinions that you have shared, which is true for the show as a whole. I'm pretty sure I know what you're up to. But in case I missed it, is there something new we need to click, follow, subscribe? I follow you on Instagram. Let us know. All the best of luck with that, Mashoba. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, Mashoba, look, just putting more and more time into my business, really. I've got this amazing opportunity to work with a guy called Mike Sharman. We've got a business together. So if you want to spend millions of rands with us, feel free.
Sure. And if you don't, then just follow what Ben's doing anyway.
But yeah, I generally do share pretty much all the stuff that I do because that's what I've always done in sports. So.
Yeah. By the way, it's July at SkinSense. You can get an extra, this is very cool, you can get a Christmas in July package, which includes a cleanse facial, a hot stone, paraffin manicure, and a 2-course lunch. That's really being treated like the princess.
It's outstanding.
You want to go along for this? It was 1,945 rand. Now it's 1,330 rand. Or you can get the July Express package, which includes a back, neck and shoulder massage, a wash and blow, plus a Christmas spiced sour cherry tart and a beverage of your choice. Was 720 rand. Now it's just 535. And lastly, you can get a voucher for 1,100 and get 350 rand of more value. That's right. T's and C's apply. Skin Sense Day Spa in Rivonia, Johannesburg. They host a comprehensive range of expert beauty treatments for men and women. Go along and check out their menu online, skinsense.co.za, or you can go to cliffcentral.com.
There are still some guys out there who don't grasp the idea of guys going to spas.
Yeah, it's stupid.
I know, it's weird. It's such a great thing to do.
You've got to get into this. It's really a good way to spend your time. All right. When we come back, we'll check in on a bunch of the things in the news. Ben's got some highlights and lowlights. We'll also get to Tsimong Absa and the Interchange this morning. And don't forget, George Meany joins us on a Friday for the last 5 minutes of the show. Plenty to get stuck into.
This is CliffCentral.com.